This is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Saul Gonzalez. Investigators say Pacific Gas and Electric, California's biggest utility, has caused some of the state's most destructive blazes, like 2018's Camp Fire that killed 86 people. PG&E filed for bankruptcy in January after it said it couldn't afford to pay $30 billion in wildfire-related liabilities. So how will the utility meet its obligations to fire victims without socking it to ratepayers? Joining me is KQED politics correspondent Marisa Lagos to talk about one plan to do just that. Marisa, I understand this proposal has caused a lot of consternation in Sacramento, and it's really confusing.
Stick with me here, Saul. Between PG&E stockholders and bondholders, the stockholders, along with PG&E management, want to retain control of the company. And some of the bondholders at PG&E are trying to kind of come in and propose a different way to pay off fire victims that would give them more control. So Wall Street versus Wall Street, not something that a lot of kind of average citizens, quite frankly, are paying attention to or have a big financial stake in.
So what would this Chad Mays legislation do specifically for PG&E?
So this legislation, which was written by Assemblyman Chad Mays from Yucca Valley, would essentially allow PG&E to issue tax-exempt bonds up to $20 billion. That money could go to pay off wildfire survivors from previous years. It would be tax exempt because essentially the state of California and the ratepayers of PG&E would be backing it. So private companies can't get these types of government bonds. And the idea would be to sort of give them a mechanism by which shareholders could pay back those bonds out of future profits. And what PG&E says and the folks backing this is that it would basically protect ratepayers from having to pay for the mistakes PG&E made that a lot of people do feel that the shareholders should shoulder.
And what do you say to skeptics who might say, yeah, but that lets this utility off in some way? Are they right?
I mean, I think that that's going to be, if this comes to the floor in the legislature, what's being debated. Like, is this a bailout or is this a backstop for ratepayers? On the one hand, you have people saying, hey, this is a good way that allows PG&E to kind of emerge in a healthy manner. And on the other hand, you have people who say, wait a second, ratepayers would be on the hook if PG&E defaulted on these bonds. And also, we should mention that PG&E has asked state regulators to increase their amount of guaranteed profits. So ratepayers will pay for those increased profits already. And so there's kind of a question of like, well, if we're paying more for their profits, but they're taking this money out of their profits, aren't we paying anyway? It's really complicated and it's really hard to tell kind of what's going to happen in the future with the stock and the market and the bond market. But we have seen ratepayer advocates come out and say they do not like this plan.
And can I ask just an almost existential question? And that is, is this company's very existence still at risk? Is it possible that it's not around 2, 3, 4 years from now?
I don't think that is possible in any way, shape, or form. We've never seen any realistic proposal for, say, the state to buy them out and make this a public entity. We have seen their stock price, even in bankruptcy, really rebound. And I think that what you're seeing now is on both sides, whether it's the bondholders who want to take over PG&E or the shareholders who are asking for this $20 billion bond, they're both betting their money on the fact that this will continue to be a profitable company once they exit bankruptcy. And I think that that speaks to kind of how difficult it is for those of us on the consumer side to really trust anyone.
Marisa Lagos, thanks for being my PG&E Sherpa. I needed it.
I would say it's my pleasure, but it's kind of my curse, Saul.
Somebody's got to do it.
Thank you for having me.
During World War II, tens of thousands of Korean women were forced by the Japanese military to work in brothels as sex slaves. They were euphemistically called comfort women, and in recent years, the suffering and exploitation they endured have gotten more attention. That includes a new musical that's opened in Los Angeles. KPCC's Josie Wong reports.
At a theater in downtown L.A., it's rehearsal time for the musical Comfort Women. A troupe of performers dance across the stage. The song belies a very heavy subject. As many as 200,000 women and girls, mostly from Korea, were forced to work at so-called comfort stations across Asia. The women in the musical think they're signing up for factory jobs, only to learn too late from a Japanese soldier that they've been duped.
Your bodies now belong to the Great Imperial Army. You are to allow our soldiers to enjoy their time with you.
This is a controversial issue. The United Nations says Japan employed a widespread system of sexual slavery, and the Japanese government has apologized to the comfort women. At the same time, the Japanese government has angered Koreans by fighting efforts around the world to memorialize the women. Actress Jennifer Sun Bell portrays one of the comfort women in the musical. Before the audition notice, she had no idea who comfort women were.
I'm actually half Korean, and I was so angry and so just ashamed that I didn't know this is part of my heritage.
Bell relates to the women on another level. She is a sexual assault survivor.
I'm just so inspired by these grandmas and how they are able to speak out now and have so much strength and courage to do so.
When Bell takes to the stage in one of her character's pivotal scenes, she sings about being a shooting star. And her character pleads, tell the world who we are. For the California Report, I'm Josie Huang in Los Angeles.
Now to politics. This week, the Democratic National Committee, that's the formal governing body of the Democratic Party, is hammering out its platform at its annual conference in San Francisco. Yesterday, amid raucous chants and singing from protesters, a committee voted not to hold a debate about climate change during the presidential primary season. KQED's Raquel Maria Dillon has more.
The DNC's Resolutions Committee voted 17-8 against holding an official climate debate. And that did not sit well with young environmentalists from the Sunrise Movement.
Which side are you on now? Which side are you on?
CNN and MSNBC plan to hold town halls or forums about climate change next month. Activists say the biggest existential threat facing humanity deserves more airtime and should be prioritized by the party. But party leaders are against focusing a whole debate on one topic, because then they say they'd have to sponsor debates on other single issues. For the California Report, I'm Raquel Maria Dillon in San Francisco.
And speaking of the DNC convention in San Francisco, it's expected to be packed with presidential candidates over the weekend. Many of them arrived early in California for other events. Elizabeth Warren pitched her tax proposal on the ultra-wealthy to a big crowd in Los Angeles. Cory Booker was also in L.A. talking gun control. And Bernie Sanders held a rally in Sacramento. Supporter Yusuf Gamal was there.
He's different. He's not like Hillary. He's not like Kamala Harris, who put on a hat. I see a genuine guy who's been doing it for way before I was born.
And no matter who a voter casts a ballot for in the 2020 election, how old should he or she be? Well, some 17-year-olds in California would be allowed to vote under a proposed constitutional amendment making its way through the state legislature. The measure passed the assembly yesterday. From KQED's politics desk, Katie Orr reports.
The amendment would allow 17-year-olds to vote in a primary if they'll turn 18 before the general election. Democratic Assemblyman Kevin Mullen authored the bill, which he said will promote civic engagement.
Nearly half of states in the U.S. already allow 17-year-olds to participate in primaries and caucuses.
Some Republicans opposed the measure, saying it's a ploy to get more left-leaning voters to the polls. It now moves to the state Senate. If approved by two-thirds, the proposed amendment will be placed on an upcoming ballot for voters to ultimately decide on. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr.
California has some of the toughest gun laws in the country. Our next-door neighbor, Nevada, has some of the weakest. That's why it's notable that a powerful Nevada politician appears to be rejecting an invitation from California lawmakers to participate in a legislative summit on gun safety reform. KQED's Jeremy Siegel explains.
Earlier this week, a group of California legislators sent a letter to Nevada State Assembly Speaker Jason Frierson, calling for him and his colleagues to collaborate on gun policy and to participate in a summit this fall. The move came in response to a mass shooting in Gilroy last month, where the gunman used an assault rifle banned in California but legally sold in Nevada. In a statement to KQED, Frierson said he does welcome collaboration on gun safety, but that he'll, quote, leave it to California leaders to participate in their summit. Frierson did not respond to further requests asking to clarify whether he was outright rejecting the offer. For the California Report, I'm Jeremy Siegel.
A group called the National Straight Pride Coalition plans to hold a parade somewhere in the Central Valley city of Modesto tomorrow. According to the coalition's founder, Don Grundeman, a Bay Area chiropractor, his organization promotes values it believes are under attack: masculinity, Christianity, traditional gender roles, and Western civilization. Brian Levin with the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at CSU San Bernardino says Grundeman's themes on race mirror those of white nationalist groups. And Tony Rodriguez, a trans man and nurse living in Modesto, questions why a straight pride parade is even needed.
I find that straight pride is kind of like celebrated every single day in this country.
Rodriguez says he's seen this before and knows what Grundeman's group is doing.
When the LGBTQ community tried to come together to have a pride parade, the whole point of it was all the oppression that still continues today. And really, all that straight pride says is really just mocking that.
Rodriguez says the straight pride parade, with its strong undercurrent of white nationalism and homophobia, makes this a very upsetting time for him. But still, he has this message.
Whether we are non-white, queer, white, and gay, doesn't matter. We all just want to live our lives, not fight and try to figure out who's the better group. There's no point in that. We should be celebrating all of our accomplishments together.
A counter-protest to the Straight Pride Parade is planned for tomorrow. The Central Valley Pride Center and other groups are organizing some safe spaces with counseling, meditation, and food. Rodriguez will be there handing out water. And finally, if you've wanted to commune with nature this summer but haven't had time, maybe this will inspire you. In honor of its 103rd birthday, the National Park Service is offering free entry to our national parks on Sunday. That includes Yosemite, Joshua Tree, and Death Valley. But be respectful of the parks and patient with your fellow park goers if there are crowds.
Support for the California Report comes from Strauss Family Creamery, producing 100% organic milk in reusable glass bottles for more than 25 years, keeping 500,000 pounds of milk containers out of landfills every year. StraussFamilyCreamery.com. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Friday, August 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with additional help from Rob Spate and Jim Bennett. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a great day.